Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you and thank you for how faithful you are and how good you are. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you that we have this opportunity just to come before you today and to be able, just like is being celebrated throughout all the history of your people, we have the opportunity to come before you and to serve you with gladness, to come before you with singing. So even as we get into the word, our hearts are still singing our praises to you out of gratitude for your goodness, out of gratitude for your love, out of gratitude for who you are, Jesus. You be glorified in this time as we just read your word. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that your word, this Jesus, this is you revealing yourself to us. So let this word, just as the word is spoken, let it bring forth life, illumination in each one of us as it draws us closer to you. It's all to your glory, Jesus. We say thank you. We praise you. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. It's good to see so many here, people here this morning. You guys were actually pushed up to the front row. Man, that's great. Well, the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at faith. And I think as believers in Jesus Christ, faith is one of those things that we talk a lot about. I mean, we talk about faith an awful lot. It's a big part of the vernacular that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. We talk about faith, but how much do we really understand faith? And really, if we stop and think about it, how much do we operate in our daily lives? How much do we actually operate in faith? And really, how much do we know to even operate in faith? So these are the things that we've been looking at for the last number of weeks. Now, we looked at it a few weeks ago, and we've been looking at just how to operate in faith. We've been looking at it from Hebrews. We've been looking at the New Testament version from Hebrews. We've got a lot of references from Hebrews chapter 11. But we've been looking at it specifically on how to operate in faith by the example of the Shunammite woman from 2 Kings chapter 4. Have you guys been getting something out of this? Has anybody read it yourself after Sunday? Just somebody raise your hand just so they feel good about it. Okay, that's good. As long as I feel good about it, that's all I care about. Read through it yourself. Make sure you read it, because as you hear these things that we teach on Sundays, when you read through it, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit's going to show you new things and show you things that you can apply directly to your life as you read it. So we've been looking at 2 Kings chapter 4, the story of the Shunammite woman. Now, for those of you that haven't been here, I think we all know the story, but let me give you an overview so that we're all on the same page as we look at the story. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, we have the Shunammite woman. This is a woman who demonstrated her faithfulness to God by being faithful and showing her faithfulness to the man of God, Elijah. Whenever Elijah would come through the area, she would compel him to stop and eat with them. She had her husband build onto their house an extra room for the man of God. So he had a room, he had a bed, he had a table, he had a lamp. When he would come through, he had a place that he could stay. And because of her faithfulness, the man of God, Elijah, said to Gehazi, his servant, he said, "What does this woman need? How can God bless her?" And Gehazi said, "Well, she doesn't have a child." And so Elijah said to the Shunammite woman, "At the appropriate season, you will have a son to hold in your arms." And at that next season, she had a son. And the story goes on, and the son grows. And one day when the son is out in the fields working with his father, he complains about a pain in his head, and the father sends him back to the mother. And he sits in his mother's arms, or he lays on his mother's lap until he dies in his mother's arms. Now we saw that the Shunammite woman took the body of her dead son, and she placed it on the bed of the man of God. And then she shut the door behind that, and she moved forward in faith. And we see her operating in faith. And everything she does is a real insight for us on how to operate and live our lives in faith. So she saddles the donkey, she gets the donkey, she rides a long way from Shunem to Mount Carmel, where Elijah is at. And we haven't gotten to this part of the story yet, but she comes to Elijah, and a long way off, Elijah sees her coming and sends his servant. And then she comes, she talks to the man of God. The man of God sends Gehazi, his servant, to take his staff, his authority, and to go lay it on the body of the dead son. He does, nothing happens. So finally, Elijah himself comes from Mount Carmel to the body of the boy. He lays on top of the boy. Life is brought back to the son. The promise, the gift that was given to the Shunammite woman is restored and given back to her. And the whole thing we see, faithfulness, and we see how we operate in faith. Now, one of the main principles that we've been looking at over all these weeks is that faith needs to be accompanied by action. Now, a couple weeks ago, we looked at how we can apply that action to our faith. Last week, we looked at how you can apply action to your faith even when there's no specific action that would seem obvious to apply to whatever it is you're believing for. Now, we got through all of that. We ended by looking at verse number 24. So the story of the Shunammite woman starts at, I think, verse 1 and goes through, I think, like verse 37. So we're only at verse 24. But we're moving forward and progressing. And we're getting some good insights as to how to operate in faith by watching the Shunammite woman. So let's pick it up where we left off last week. I want to look at verse 24. We'll read it again, and then we'll move forward from there. Verse 24, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 24. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace unless I tell you." So this is the verse we looked at last week. Now, indulge me, because I want to spend some more time looking at this verse. Because there's a critical thing to us to understand, a critical point that is so often overlooked that is demonstrated in this verse. And I want us to see it, and I want us to make sure that we get this. So the Shunammite woman, she has a servant, she instructs her servant, and she's moving forward in faith. She has a servant, she instructs the servant, and she moves forward in faith. That seems awfully simple, but as you're going to see, there's a principle that's here. And this is a principle that is so important. I mean, it's a main principle in understanding how we get faith to operate in our lives. It's a principle that, for the most part, I would say most believers have never really stopped to consider this principle. And those of us that haven't spent a lot of time really grasping it. I will tell you that I've learned a lot about this principle just in the last week and a half, just as I was studying and preparing for this. If you will spend time, I'm telling you, you leave here today and you read these verses, read through Hebrews chapter 11, and then read through this story, and let the Holy Spirit show you things. There's so much. When you look at Hebrews 11 and you put it with this, there is so much that you can see and that the Holy Spirit will teach you, and you will learn, and it will help you understand how to operate in faith. But this principle, when I tell you this principle, your natural mind is going to be inclined to rebel against this thought. Does that intrigue you? All right, this principle sounds awfully simple too, but stay with me. This is the principle. Faith is your servant. Faith works for you. Make faith work for you. If faith is your servant, then make it work for you in the same way that we see the Shunammite woman making her servant work for her. Faith is your servant. Now, I'm going to show you that scripturally in just a couple of minutes, but we see that example here with the Shunammite woman. So the Shunammite woman has a servant. She instructs her servant in faith. She instructs her servant, and the servant does as he's instructed. Our faith is supposed to work for us. This is what it's supposed to do. Our faith should be working for us. Look at what it says here. It says, drive and go forward. We're supposed to drive our faith. It serves us. We drive our faith, and as we drive our faith, we go forward in faith. Faith is your servant. Make it work for you. Can that be true? It is. Because look at what Jesus himself says. Jesus himself talks about faith as a servant. In Matthew 28, turn to that. In Matthew 28, you see the disciples. And the disciples are requesting this of Jesus. They're making the request. They say, Jesus, increase our faith. So the question is, how do we increase our faith? Can there be any question that what comes out of Jesus' mouth in response to that question, can there be any question at all that he's talking about faith? No, they said, increase our faith. And here's his response. This is Matthew 28, verse number 9. I got that all wrong. Forget all that. Did you put that up there? Okay, thank you. It's Luke chapter 17. Matthew's coming. All right, we'll get there. This is Luke chapter 17. I should have known, because anytime I hear pages turning a lot, usually it's an indication that I gave you guys the wrong reference. Okay, so Luke 17, verses 5 through 8. This is in the New King James Bible. Look better to you guys? All right, so the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, we got a lot of mulberry trees. I read this verse last week and I said, Donna, that's the answer. We need to be speaking to these mulberry trees and getting them out of our yard. They're appearing everywhere and they're just horrible. So come to our house sometime and see, because we're going to start speaking to those mulberry trees and cast them out of our yard. So if you have faith of this mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea. There's no sea near us, but we do have a river close by. So that's where they'll be. If you see them floating down, they're coming from our yard. And which of you, all that makes sense, but this is where it gets a little confusing for us. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and you will drink? The disciples are asking Jesus, increase our faith. Jesus is saying in response to this, you don't need more faith. You have all the faith you need. Guess what? That statement is exponentially more true for you and I, because we're living under the new covenant that had not yet been fulfilled by them. Jesus says you don't need more faith. You have all the faith you need. As a sidebar, I don't have time to go into it today, but I will show you this in a few weeks. As a sidebar on this, you have all the faith that you need. You don't need any more faith. You actually have the faith of Jesus Christ himself invested in you. And I'll show you that in a few weeks scripturally, but for now, just take my word for it, okay? So you have, Jesus is saying, you have all the faith that you need. You don't need any more. Jesus says what you need is to make your faith serve you. Command your faith. Now, the thought of commanding our faith and making our faith serve us, that kind of goes against the natural mind. But this is the specific instructions that we see. I mean, it's not me saying it. This is Jesus. These are his words. These are instructions he's giving us. He's saying, make faith your servant and instruct faith. Command faith to serve you. Command it. Does that sound familiar to you guys? Because if you were here last week, do you see how this ties into what we were talking about last week? Because last week, one of the things I was saying is speaking. It's as you speak. Speaking is one of those actions that we can apply to our faith. When we speak, we are speaking with you. When you speak as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are speaking with the full authority of Jesus Christ. So speak to the things in this, command the things in this realm to line up with the promises of the Word of God. Command your faith, the faith of Jesus Christ that is in you, command your faith to serve you. Here's when your faith serves you. Faith serves you when you speak words of faith that line up with His Word. Because when you speak words of faith that line up with His Word, Jesus can move through those words of faith that you speak, and He can bring those things that are right now spiritual realities in the spiritual realm, and He can make them realities, firm realities here in this natural realm. Command your faith. This is what He's saying. This is what Jesus is saying to us here. Now, let's continue looking. This is Luke 17. Let's look at verse number 8. In verse number 8, I'm going to find it here, and then you can find it up there. Okay. In verse number 8, says the word serve. Where's the word serve here? Okay, I want you to focus on this word, serve. Because this word here in Luke, this word serve in the Greek, it literally means to serve at a table. This word serve literally means to wait upon. This is talking about everything that you think of when you think of the word serve and servant. This is what that word means. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is saying to you and to I, make faith your servant. Command it to work for you. Now, we see an example of this. This word here, as Jesus is talking to the disciples, this word serve here, we see the same word, and we see the same premise that is being taught here We see this in another biblical story, another biblical example. Let's move ahead to Acts chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. Are y'all still with me? Yes. It making sense? Yes. Good. Maybe somebody can explain it to me afterwards. All right, so Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Again, this is the New King James. Now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from amongst you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So what's happening is we see that the widows are not being served fairly. And this is brought to the disciples, the 12 disciples, this is brought to them as a complaint. And here's the response of the disciples. They answer this with a question. They say, Why should we stop studying the word? Why should we stop seeking after Jesus? Why should we stop getting to know Jesus more and deeper so that we might serve tables? Find 7 to serve. And so they appointed 7, and those 7 became the servants so that the disciples could continue doing the work that was assigned to them. Their work was what? Their work was to study the word. Their work was to get to know Jesus more and more. Their work was to advance the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to see something here, because again, I want to focus. This word serve, where do we see the word serve here? Go back. Oh, yeah, it's verse number 2. That's right, you can see it in yours. Where you see the word serve here in the book of Acts, again, that word serve is the exact same Greek word that Jesus used in Luke 17 when he was talking to you about making faith your servant. It's the exact same word. So we are supposed to be doing this. We're supposed to be making, in the same manner, we're supposed to be making faith serve us. It's what we're supposed to do. Now, guess what? You guys have the exact same call. You have the exact same expectations that the disciples, that were placed on the disciples. Your job, your responsibility is to study the word. It's to get to know Jesus more and more. Your responsibility, just like the disciples, is to advance the kingdom of God as you are instructed. Don't trouble yourselves with the small things of life. Don't trouble yourself with the small things of life that the servants are supposed to attend to. You pay attention to the assignment that is given to you. Your assignment, study the word, get to know Jesus more and more, advance the kingdom of God. That is what you're supposed to do. Now, also notice in this concept, conceptually, this means that the struggles of life are the smaller things of life. The things that you and I are troubled with, the things that we would call the present struggles of life, these things are not your concern. Your job is to get to know Jesus more and more. That's what your job is. The master does not do the work of the servants. Faith is your servant. Make faith work for you. Listen, your faith is more than enough because you have the faith of Jesus Christ inside of you. Your faith is more than enough. In fact, your faith is the faith that you have right now in your lives is represented by the 7 servants that we see in the book of Acts. Ah, yes, thank you. Our faith is enough. And your faith is represented by these 7 servants. And that's important because, again, remember that the Greek word is the exact same word. So if your faith is represented by these seven servants, your faith represented, then think about this. Because the seven servants were selected, which is a harder alliteration to say than you would think that it is. Seven servants were selected. But the number is seven. Now, in the Bible, numbers do have relevance. Now, please understand, there are some people that take biblical numerology, and they make it all of their theology, they make it all their doctrines, and it's a little bit out of balance. I'm not talking about that, but you need to understand that God does use numbers in the Bible. He uses numbers to show us things. He uses numbers to give us a fuller understanding. He uses numbers to give us a fuller grasp of what he's trying to paint, the picture he's trying to paint for us. So when God says here, if our faith is just like it's represented by those seven servants, seven is an important number. So what does seven mean? Yes. Yes! Perfect. It means spiritual perfection. It also means completion and fullness. Fullness, completion, and perfection. This is what it means. We see this exemplified in the creation. When God made all of the creation, it was all done in 7 days. At the end of 7 days, creation was complete and it was perfect. So for you and I, think about this. And again, think about this in reference to those seven servants. For you and I, seven represents completion and it represents perfection. Your faith, which is the faith of Jesus Christ in you, your faith is full. Your faith is complete. Your faith is perfect because it's represented by those seven servants. So anytime that your mind says to yourself, when your mind says, is my faith enough? Is my faith strong enough? Yes, it is. This is one of the things that Jesus is trying to show us and exemplify through these things. One other thing I want you to notice from this. As Jesus in Luke 17, you don't have to go back there, but just remember. As Jesus in Luke 17 was talking to the disciples, and as he was giving them the instructions to make faith their servant, I want you to notice that when you have a servant, you sit, you eat, you relax. The servant does the work. That's an important principle of faith. Faith does the work for you. Faith is your servant. Your job is to stand. Your job is to rest. Your job is to relax and let faith do the work that's for you. Now let's go back to the Shunammite woman because I want you to get a real clear picture of this. The Shunammite woman, I'm going to say this slow so you can get a picture of this. The Shunammite woman, her faith drove her towards her deliverance under the old covenant, right? For you and I, we speak to our faith. We make faith work for us. We speak to our faith, and we speak to our faith in the Word of God. We speak to our faith in the Word, believing. So for you and I, all we do is we stand in faith, and we receive the deliverance that is ours in Jesus Christ. Now, the Shunammite woman, she rode the donkey. That was the old covenant. You and I have a better covenant. Guess what? We don't ride the donkey. And that's important because, as we're going to see in a minute, Jesus rode the donkey for you and for I. All we have to do is stand in faith and make faith serve us. The Shunammite woman, I'm going slow so you get this picture. The Shunammite woman rode the yoked donkey of the old covenant. She rode the yoked donkey, and that donkey was under the burden of all of her troubles. Now, Jesus Christ, Jesus, for you, rode the, what did I say with her? She rode the yoked donkey. Did I say that wrong? She rode the yoked donkey. Jesus Christ rode the unyoked donkey in Luke chapter 19. He rode the unyoked donkey toward the promises that are for you on his way to Jerusalem to become the sacrifice for your sins. This is what Jesus did for you and I. We no longer sit upon the Shunammite woman. She said, sorry, Tilly. I got Tilly upset. She's excited, yes. I can hear Tilly sometimes. It's great when I can hear sometimes just the kids, the little ones during praise and worship. It's great when I can hear that. I love hearing that. I've said before, I love having kids. One of the things that I've said from the start, for those of you who have never been here before, I love having kids. We set it up so kids are here because it's my belief. I believe that children, it's the power of the Word of God. Even though Tilly, she may not understand, the power, the Word of God doesn't return void. So she is hearing the Word of God, and the Word of God is getting into Tilly, even at her age, no matter what the age is. And to me, it's important that as children grow up, they hear the Word, and that they hear the Word as a family, instead of sending our kids off. And trust me, I'm not saying that it's wrong to do it the other way churches do it. That's absolutely fine. I'm just doing what God's told me to do. And for me, I want the children to hear the same Word in the sanctuary as the parents hear, so that when they leave here, they can talk about that Word themselves as they go through the day. So that's kind of the why we do things the way we do. Again, I got off track. I have no idea what I was even talking about. Donkey sacrifice, yes. So Jesus is that sacrifice for us. Unyoked, yes. Unyoked donkey. So we no longer sit on those promises. We no longer sit on those old promises where we are carrying the burden of our troubles. You see, she rode on the donkey. The donkey had to carry. Under the old covenant, she carried all those burdens herself. You and I have no burdens to carry because we put all those burdens on the new covenant promises of Jesus Christ. All we have to do is make faith our servant and then stand back and just stand in faith and let faith do what it's going to do. Amen? Does that make sense? All right, let's look ahead. We're going to finally look ahead at a few new verses. Verses 25 and 26. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please run to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Elijah saw the Shunammite woman afar off. God saw you afar off. Before the foundations of the world, God saw the needs that you would have. For Gehazi, for Elijah, he saw the Shunammite woman afar off. He saw her afar off, and what Elijah did is he sent Gehazi ahead of himself to meet the Shunammite woman at her needs. Can you picture that? He sent Gehazi ahead of himself to meet the needs of the Shunammite woman. Thank you, Jesus, that we have God. God sent Jesus Christ ahead of us already and has met all of our needs. This is, again, just a confirmation of what you have. This is the truth that we have because of the new covenant that we have and that we live under. And so faith serves us. Where she had to ride faith, faith actually serves you and I. Now, there's another set of verses that actually tie together with this whole, that actually speak to this whole thought of afar off. And not coincidentally, those verses come from the very chapter of the New Testament that we've been looking at, Hebrews chapter 11. I want to look ahead. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. These all died in faith. Did I get there too fast? Pardon me? A little bit. All right. I'll give you a few more moments. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Here's the same principle. Were assured of them, embraced them, confessed them as they were strangers and pilgrims. I thought I got the wrong version. That sounds like the Amplified Bible, but it is the New King James. As they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, had they called to mind, listen to this, and truly had they called to mind the contrary from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Now, as you read those verses, here's the first thing. These verses are part of that great testimony, that great roll call of faith. And in these specific verses, we're just looking at the roll call of faith from Abel up to Abraham. And these are men that saw the promises of God afar off, but they embraced them. They confessed them, even though they didn't fully see them all. Now, in verse number 15, which I told you to look at, in verse number 15, and truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. This is saying that had Abraham, had he looked back, he was called to go forward. Had he looked back, he would have been tempted to return from where he came. Now, from a spiritual standpoint, what this is saying, and this applies to you and I today, if we look back, don't look back. Because if you look back, had Abraham looked back from the promises, he was moving forward in faith towards the promises. Had he looked back, he would have had opportunity to return to the world of the seen. And thus he would have given up the promises of the unseen. Don't look back. Don't look back on the door that you've closed on something. Move forward in faith and keep moving forward in faith. Amen. The other thing with the Shunammite woman, she never looked back in faith. She continually went forward. She saw the promises of God and she never once looked back. She kept moving right towards. Her quest was for the promises of God through the man of God. Had she listened to Gehazi, when Gehazi asked her the question, she could have looked back. When Gehazi said, "How is it with your husband? How is it with you? How is it with your son?" She could have looked back. And if she would have looked back, she'd have been tempted to respond this way and say, "My son is lying dead on the bed of the man of God. Where's my promise?" But she didn't do that. She didn't look back. She just continued to move forward in faith. She continued. She only saw what faith's vision saw. And in that, she said, she only spoke the words that faith's vision saw, and she said, "It is well." This is the faith that we should have. This is the example that we need to have. Listen, you're going to be tempted in life. You're going to be tempted to look back and confess the world's report. Don't look back. Keep moving forward in faith, in words and in action. You may not be able to see it with your eyes right now, but here's the good news. God the Father looked and he saw afar off. He saw all the promises. He saw the spiritual reality of what Jesus has already established for you. And he saw those spiritual realities displacing the natural realities of our world, of our life. So how do we do this? How do we accomplish this? Let's go forward one more verse. I'm going to look at verse number 27. I'm going to look at this in the Amplified Bible first. And I only want to look at the first part of this because the first part of this is key. Then we'll look at the whole thing. But in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 27, here's how it reads in the Amplified Bible. When she came to the mountain of the man of God, she clung to his feet. Get a picture of that in your mind. She makes her way, and again, this is a 4 or a 5 hour journey. In a 4 or 5 hour journey where she's alone with all of her thoughts, all of her doubts, and all of her fears. And yet she remains resolute. She doesn't look back. She gets to the man of God, and she clings to his feet. So the Shunammite woman has grabbed the hold of the man of God. She's clinging to his feet, and she will not let go. Don't look back at the things in your life. Keep moving forward. Don't look back on what you've shut the door on. Once you start to move forward in faith, don't look back and cling to the Word of God. Cling to Jesus Christ, which is the Word. We see the same image. We see the same imagery of clinging to the Word of God, clinging to the promises of God. Here's Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse number 9. Now this is as the women are leaving the tomb, and as they're leaving the tomb, they find the resurrected Jesus. And here's what he says. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and they held him by the feet, and they worshipped him. I want you to focus on rejoice and worship him. Cling. Part of faith is clinging to Jesus. Clinging to Jesus is clinging to his word. Clinging to his word is speaking his word in faith. It is also, as Jesus is pointing out to us here, it is rejoicing. It's what we talked about before we started in praise and worship. It's what we talked about last week. Remember, last week we said, if you're looking for an action to put to your faith, One of the most powerful actions you can take is praise and worship. Jesus is reaffirming that right here. And he's saying, rejoice. He's saying, they fell and they worshiped at his feet. Cling to Jesus. Cling to the word. Worship him. Cling to his feet and worship him. Cling to his feet and rejoice. Hold on to him at all things. Again, this is an example of how we make faith our servant. It's the examples that we see from the Shunammite woman. Now, let's look at that whole verse. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 27. This is in the New King James Bible. Now, when she came to the man of God on the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. One of the things that we need to understand about Gehazi is understanding what Gehazi represents to you and I as we're talking about faith and making faith our servants. Throughout the entire Bible, and we even see it in this story, if you go back to verse number 12, we read it a few weeks ago, throughout the Bible, Gehazi is always referred to as the servant of Elijah. He's not the student. He's not the mentoree. He is the servant. Now, that's kind of interesting because I've spent basically this entire morning telling you that we are supposed, that Jesus is showing us that we are supposed to make faith our servant. Now we see Gehazi also in the story, and Gehazi has a role as a servant as well. What are we supposed to do with that? Understand this. Throughout the Bible and throughout the stories where Gehazi is with Elijah, Gehazi always represents the flesh, that which is carnal, worldliness, and the things of the world. That's what he represents. So we see that there are two servants in our story. One servant represents faith. The other servant represents worldliness. We get to decide. We choose. We are either making faith our servant, or if we're not making faith our servant, guess what? We're making ourselves servants of the world. We're making ourselves servants of the flesh. There's only two options. There's only these two things. You're either making faith your servant, as Jesus Christ has instructed us to do, or if you're not operating in faith. If you're not operating in faith, then whether you will to or not, whether you intend to or not, you are making yourself a servant of the world and of the flesh. It's the only two options that are available to us. We're doing one of those things. That's why Gehazi represents to us worldliness and the things of the world. Now let's go back to verse number 27 and look at that again because there's more that's there. Now, when she came to the man of God on the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me, and he's not told me. The woman of God is clinging to the Shunammite woman is clinging to the man of God in the same way that you and I are supposed to cling to Jesus Christ. But notice what happens. The world, Gehazi, the world will push you away from the promises of God in the same way that Gehazi is pushing the woman, the Shunammite woman, away from the promises of Jesus Christ, away from the promises that she has come for, the promises of the man of God. If we don't operate in faith, if we're not operating in faith, clinging to the word of God, then the world itself is going to cause us to start to lose confidence in the word of God itself and in how the word applies to our lives. If we don't operate in faith, that's the logical conclusion. And then our faith has no action. Amen? Can you see that? Y'all got kind of quiet on that one. All right, there's one other thing I want you to notice about this verse. Because we see that the man of God is unable to discern what's going on in the soul of the Shunammite woman. He's unable to make this determination or discern these things as Gehazi is pushing against her. When I allow myself to be swayed by the world itself is going to push me away from being able to perceive and to understand and discern the things of God's word. This is why we have to. It's not even an option. This is why God instructed us to make faith our servant, because there's only one of two choices. If I make faith my servant, faith will do the work for me. But if I'm not making faith my servant, then I'm leaving myself the only other option, which is I'm making myself a servant of the world. And the world itself is going to push me away from even seeing, perceiving, and understanding the truth of the word so that I can even apply it to my life. Amen? See, somebody should have got excited about that, because that's a great revelation for me anyway. All right, so there's one last thing I want to share with you about this. So the woman's soul was in deep distress. You can be operating in faith. You can be doing everything absolutely 100% right. You can be making faith your servant, and yet sometimes you're not going to see immediately, you're not going to see the things that you desire taking place. We see that in the Shunammite woman. She's acting in faith. She's going 5 hours by herself in faith, not looking back. And yet when she gets to the man of God, she's operating in faith. And yet there is still stress in her soul. Sometimes there's going to be a time frame from when you start to act in faith. When you don't see the answer right now, don't give up. Don't quit. This is what faith is. Faith does not let go. Faith holds on firmly, clinging to the word of God. Faith clings. Faith doesn't relent. Faith does not let go. If you make faith your servant, as Jesus is instructing us here, if you make faith your servant, and you speak, when you speak the word of God, when you stand clinging to the word of God, when you stand upon the word of God, and you speak the word of God, all the things of the world, you continue to stand and speak the word of God, and the things of the world which are contrary to the word that you're standing on, you continue to stand as she did. She continued to move forward in faith. You continue to stand and speak the word of God, and eventually those things that are in opposition to the word of God will line up with the word of God, just as they did for the Shunammite woman. Her response was always, "It is well." She's speaking the truth regardless of what she sees. Faith holds on. Faith clings to. Faith does not relent. Make faith your servant. Make faith work. Do the work for you. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your word. And I thank you, Lord, as we just go through this week, I thank you that each one of us, as we take the time to read this story, that Holy Spirit, you just show us even new things, greater things that apply specifically to our lives. But we rejoice in you, we praise in you, we thank you that the word doesn't return void. Help us to understand how to make faith our servant, as you've instructed. Help us to speak those words of faith and just follow the example of the Shunammite woman. But know that what we have is even better because of the better covenant that we have. She rode the donkey, but you rode the unyoked donkey for us. And we say thank you, Jesus, for all you've given us. You be glorified in our lives. It's all in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise God.